This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. President Lincoln termed the push-pull, the sometimes violent war for our nation's soul, as the battle for our better angels. More than 150 years after the Civil War's end and Lincoln's death, the battle goes on unabated.
There is probably no better example of this than the divisions that have been at play in Wisconsin and around the country in just the past decade. The issue of what carries the nation through times like this has been playing on the mind of historian John Meacham, who sought to answer that question in his latest book, The Soul of America, and he joins us on the line to elaborate. Welcome to the show.
Delighted to be here.
So as I was reading this book, the cartoon image kept coming to mind, you know, the character with the angel on one shoulder whispering into one ear and the devil on the other doing the same thing. And it's an amusing image, but this is really what we're talking about, except that it is a whole country's soul, right?
Exactly. And that's the nature of history. We are here to try to create a more perfect union, not a perfect one. There's really no alternative given human nature. And I think the remarkable thing about the American experiment is that we've gotten as much right as we have. It's not to minimize our problems. It's not to sugarcoat our past. It's not to overlook the work at hand. But it is, if you take a step back and assess how the country has developed, we have always grown stronger the more widely we've opened our arms and the more generously we've interpreted the Jeffersonian assertion of human equality. Sometimes we've gotten it right. A lot of times we get it wrong. But we have managed to create a country that continues to be a place where people want to come. And I think that what this generation faces, what our particular political moment faces, is the task of making sure that we continue to be a place where people are interested in being part of us, not in leaving and going somewhere else.
Do you see this book as a kind of reassurance in a way, both that the climate we're in is not unprecedented and that there have always been leaders, both elected and otherwise, that have gotten us past these situations?
Well, it certainly reassured me. So for what that's worth, I do think it gives us proportion. Maybe reassurance isn't quite the right word, but I do think it gives us some context in which to weigh the troubles of the present time. And one may read this and think, you know what, this is worse than Reconstruction. This is worse than the 1915 to 27 period when we had 3 to 5 million Klansmen in America. People may think this is worse than Joe McCarthy. They may think it's worse than 1968, and that's fine. That's, you know, it's not my job to tell you what to think. It's my job to say, here's where we have been. We have endured. We have prevailed in many cases, and the nature of free government in a fallen world, if you will, is how well can we do despite our appetites, our ambitions, our greed, our racism, our xenophobia, our sexism. All these things are universal factors, and we have to find a way to overcome them. And what we've been lucky enough to do in this country is keep making progress. Not enough, but we're a better country today than we were 100 years ago on these issues, and hopefully we'll be a better country in 100 years than we are today.
This is, in a strange way, like the graph of climate change, where each year there might be individual highs and lows, but the trend keeps moving upward.
Well, that's an unfortunate image, actually, because that ends with the apocalypse. I would think of it more as compound interest, because the result there is better. You keep working, and you don't give up. You don't surrender to the passions of the moment. You try to address the problems of the age with a sense of history, a sense of balance, and the expectation that we can make this better, but it's not going to take 24 hours. It's not going to take a single election. If there's any lesson in the last 3 years, it is that the same country managed to send Barack Obama twice to the White House, and then that country sent Donald Trump. Now, you tell me if that's not a diverse and complicated nation.
Is that the central lesson that, we may have gained about the nature of this country's soul in the last couple of years, is that it is even more complex than we realized it was?
I think so. I use the word soul quite advisedly, because I think, you know, when you lose an election or you think things are bad, you say the soul of the country's been captured, right? I want to win back the soul of the country. My view is that the soul of the country, as you alluded to a moment ago, is actually has room and has had room for both Dr. King and the Klan. And the struggle in American life, as everywhere, as elsewhere, but America is our central concern here, is between those two forces. It's between light and dark. It's between grace and rage. It's between kindness and cruelty. And you hope that ultimately what Lincoln called our better angels do win out. But it's always going to be a close-run thing, to use a phrase of Wellington's. It's always going to be a close call. You know, we're really a 52-48 country. We're not a 90-10 country. We're not an 80-20 country. Sometimes we're 60-40, but not really. So to some extent, when we see narrow votes in the Congress, when we see narrow elections, we're seeing a reflection of where we are and in the best way we have to measure.
Do you think, is there something that Donald Trump and others like him, either currently or throughout history, have vested in the idea that they are unique?
I think that it's dangerous to endow the incumbent president with superpowers, because it elevates him and it makes it harder to protest, to bear witness, to try to force a better result than the ones we get day to day with the president. But I do think that the animating American idea, for all its flaws, has been that tomorrow can be better than today, that we have what Lincoln called a fair chance for our industry, intelligence, and enterprise. Wonderful phrase about why the Civil War was important in some remarks he gave to a regiment from Ohio that was heading home in August of 64. A fair chance. That's what we're after here. And right now, many people believe, and I happen to be among them, we're not offering the equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome, but the fair chance for people to rise and thrive on their own merits. And that's, I believe, the central defining question of the age, outside of broad national security questions, is how do you continue to have a viable ladder to the middle class and above for people who are willing and able to work for it?
Do you see echoes of what you wrote about in this book in the anonymous essay in the New York Times, that there are battles along these lines actually going on in the White House?
I'm sure there are. Yes, I do. And I also think, you know, people on both sides have taken this argument and used it. And that's, to me, kind of fascinating. Mitch McConnell cited this after the Kavanaugh vote, cited the book saying everybody should calm down. You know, this is not the end of the world. And a lot of people on the center to left have talked about it as well. And that's kind of my job here. It's to offer context. And I just know that the eras that we commemorate, the eras that we want to emulate, are the ones where we have let hope have a broader role in our public life rather than fear. And this president rose to power on fear and has governed that way. And fear is not a sustainable emotion. It's not something that leads us to where most of us want to go. And so right now, the presidency is not, I think, rowing in the right direction for the country. I know a lot of people disagree with that, and that's the nature of free government. But if we don't make the case for hope, if we don't make the case that it's not ideological to say that the more inclusive we are, the stronger we are, that's simply fact-based. It's a point of data about the country. Diversity is a strength, not a weakness. The free flow of goods and people and ideas is a strength, not a weakness. And it's, you know, alliances and a cooperative understanding of our security to protect our interests is not a weakness, it's a strength.
Well, John Meacham, it is an important book for our time. Thank you so much for sharing some of it with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Historian John Meacham is the author of a number of books, including his latest, The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels. Meacham is also a distinguished visiting professor at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee.
He'll touch on these themes in his latest book as part of a League of Women Voters Forum on Truth, Trust, and Democracy, Saturday morning at Alverno College. You'll find more information at WUWM.com.